Well, good morning, church. Good morning. If you've got your Bibles or your Bible apps, go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 5. We're going to be in Luke 5 today, starting in verse 27. Well, my name is Brad, and I get to be one of the pastors here at Community Church. And we're glad you're with us, glad you've joined us this morning for worship, and excited that you would want to worship Jesus, and especially you'd want to do it here with us at Community Church. We are in the middle of a series of sermons that we're calling The Call. And we're looking at the call that Jesus is giving to his early disciples, the people who are first following him. We're looking at kind of Luke chapters 5 and 6 in this series of sermons. And the call that Jesus is giving to his early disciples to come follow him is the same call that's in front of each one of us. It's the same call. It's to come and to follow him, to die to our old way of living, to understand that it's going to cost us something to follow Jesus, but then to follow faithfully, and to walk faithfully with him. And what Jesus is offering in his call, what Jesus is offering to us is something totally fresh. It is something totally new and different. This is not a simple upgrade to what we've had before. This is not a couple of tweaks to your life that'll make you, you know, five steps to a better way of living. This is something totally fresh and totally new. Life before Jesus is a different life from life after you've met Jesus. I don't know if you've had moments in your life where you felt like, man, what's happening now, life is going to be different after this. Maybe you've understood that in the moment. Maybe you can look back and say, man, after this happened, life was never the same. Maybe it's a positive thing, you know, the big moments in life, graduating from school or having your first kid. Life before is not like life after. Maybe it's a tragic moment. Maybe you've realized in the moment, life is never going to be the same because of what's happening here. On a much less dramatic scale, I can remember, and maybe you remember this too, I can remember the first time I saw in the wild, in real life, in someone's hand, an iPhone. Do you remember this? It was totally different, totally new, and maybe you don't care about technology like I do. I don't know, I think it's really cool. I remember exactly where I was standing in my friend's kitchen, and my friend Adam pulled this rectangle out of his pocket, and he said, I got one of these new Apple phones. And everybody crowded around, and we looked, and it was immediately clear, this is different than what we all have in our pockets. This is cool. I want one of these. Or really, what I wanted was, I want to be able to afford one of these someday. But immediately, I'm not going to say life is different. I mean, you could probably make that case. But immediately, I was like, what I have is kind of boring. It's kind of inadequate. This is not doing what this does. I want that. And that's what Jesus offers to us. Something totally new, something fresh, a new way of living that will change what we value. It will change what we prioritize. It also gives us a hope and a joy that we just cannot find anywhere else. In today's text, in Luke chapter 5, we're going to see that he's making very clear what it is he's doing. He's not hiding. He's not confusing people with what he's doing. And he's making very clear to a number of different audiences, a number of different people gathered together, that what he's bringing is not going to fit into their old religion. It's not going to just simply be an add-on or an upgrade to what they're doing. This is something totally new, and they're going to have to give up something, their old way of religion, in order to follow him in a relationship. So let's open up the Bible together. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. And then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they said to him, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking. And Jesus answered, Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and in those days they will fast. He told them this parable: no one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for they say the old is better. We have a God who is in the business of doing new things. He's in the business of doing new things. That is his nature. He's always been doing that and doing that that way. In the Old Testament, through the prophet Isaiah, God says, look, I am doing something new. In Revelation, at the very end, God is sitting on the throne. He says, behold, I am making all things new. That is the nature of God, to bring about new, fresh things in our world. And I truly believe that God has something fresh for our church coming. Are we ready for that? I truly believe that God wants to do something new and fresh in your family and in your life. Are you ready for that? That's the question that leaps off the pages of the text today. That's the call on us as individuals and as a group. Are we ready to be renewed? Because the King is longing to refresh us in new ways. If we take seriously God's call to us, then we must pay attention to the new work that he is doing, the new that he's wanting to pour into our lives, into our church, into our families. And we're going to see that today in this encounter between Jesus and Levi and the tax collectors and the Pharisees and his disciples. Let's talk about Levi first. Jesus has just come from healing the man with leprosy and the paralytic man, and he's walking along and he sees a man named Levi who is a tax collector. Now, tax collectors in this day, they would have had a very specific, unique kind of job. We don't really have an equivalent to a tax collector from that day. This is not the IRS. Okay, don't think about it that way. It's just coincidence that we did this the week after tax day. Hope Monday was okay for everybody. Didn't feel too stressed or scrambly Monday night. But this is not, Levi's not the IRS. Okay, Rome has conquered this area, and Rome demands a tax from the people. And Rome would just chop up the map and say, from this area, we want this amount of money. And then they would contract local people to collect that tax and send it back to Rome. Levi is a Jewish man. He's not Roman. He is one of them. He's part of the community. But the way the tax collection business worked is you would get the contract. It was very competitive to get this tax collecting contract. And you would get that, and Rome would say, let's just say $100 needs to come from this area. And so Levi would go around, and he would collect $500 from the people. And he'd send the $100 off to Rome, and that $400 was his to keep. This is how the business worked. Rome didn't pay Levi. He just got to live off of whatever he could take out of his fellow Jewish people. So you can understand that tax collectors were absolutely despised. This was not the, like I said, this is not the IRS where maybe we don't like it, but we understand it. Levi was cheating his own people. His whole livelihood was based on how much he could extort out of his fellow man. Tax collectors were absolutely despised. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees, the local religious leaders, they would have they barred tax collectors from entering the synagogue. Said, even though you're part of our community, you may not worship with us because of what you do. They were, when you see writing from this era, a lot of times they're referred to in the same category as murderers and robbers. It's kind of a common phrase: tax collectors, murderers, and robbers. You can understand how everyone thought about this profession. Absolutely despised as traitors. And so for Jesus to call Levi to be part of his kingdom, he's making a statement. He's saying something. Everyone else has decided that in our way of living, these guys are not going to be part of what we do. And Jesus says, come follow me. Come be a part of the new work that I'm doing. And this is a statement that is as bright as a flashing neon sign about who gets to be in the kingdom of God. The people you think don't deserve love are the exact people that Jesus invites in. This is what he's saying to the people around him, that your way is so small, but my kingdom is so large. Even tax collectors get to come in and be a part, just like you get to be a part of what I'm doing. And Levi's response to this, you can imagine, Levi knew how people thought about him. Levi was a smart man. So you can imagine the joy that he must have felt when it says he got up, he left everything, and he followed him. He got up, he left everything, and he followed him. The tax collection business was a good business to be in financially. These were competitive contracts. People wanted this job if they were willing to be a trader. And so when it says he left everything, he left his wealth, he left his possessions. We'll find out from other gospels, from other biblical writing, that he actually ended up following Jesus, traveling around, being one of the kind of the inner circle of disciples of Jesus. He left everything, but he also left any potential for future earnings. Once you stop being a tax collector, you're done. Somebody else gets the contract. This is different than the other disciples, some of them who were fishermen, they left their nets, but they could go back. They could pick up their nets, they could pick up their poles and fish again. Levi paid a cost to follow Jesus. And his decision to leave was joyous. It was a joyous decision. He had to throw a party. He had to let the other tax collectors know, I need you to know what I've done. I would love to know what that invitation to this banquet of other tax collectors looked like. Hey, I gave up my job. Come party with me. Hey, I figured out that what we're doing is probably not what I should be doing. I'd like you to come meet the man who helped me realize that. In that culture, eating with somebody conveyed a message. You only ate with people you respected, people you wanted to honor, people you wanted to be known with and associated with. Eating with someone was an honor. And the Pharisees, they could not understand what Jesus was doing. The Pharisees are the kind of the group of religious leaders, and they gave not only teaching from the law, from the Old Testament as we know it, but they gave kind of rules and kind of expounded and gave lots of different ways of living to the people. And the Pharisees, they could not comprehend what Jesus is doing. And what's been interesting as we've gone through these last few weeks or these last few months of looking at the book of Luke, it's kind of striking me for the first time. Do you notice how often the Pharisees are listening to Jesus? For a group of people who seem to be very upset by what he's doing, they also seem to be very interested. They're always there. They're always around him. They probably heard his sermons as much as his own disciples. I don't know, it struck me as a curiosity, but it also struck me that just simply being around Jesus is not the same as following. That just drawing a crowd is not discipleship. But Jesus, he sits and he eats this meal with tax collectors and sinners. Again, same people we put in the category with murderers and robbers. And the Pharisees, they can't understand it. And so they say, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And I think part of their question is genuine curiosity. This is not what we do. This is not the old way. Why are you doing this? Help us understand. Part of it is a judgment. Jesus, don't you know you're going to be influenced by these people? Don't you know this is going to rub off on you? Jesus is like, yeah, I'm not worried about that. I'm not here to be influenced. I'm here to influence other people. But I think part of their question too, why are you eating with them, is why aren't you eating at our table? Why aren't you coming to our house and having a banquet and honoring us, showing your respect? Why wouldn't you want to be associated, Jesus, with us? It's almost like a middle school lunchroom. How come you're sitting at their table and not at our table? The Pharisees want the honor and respect that Jesus is gaining from the people, and they don't understand that he's doing something totally new, totally fresh. Who Jesus hangs out with is a statement to us about who we should be hanging out with. Who Jesus honors and loves and serves is a statement to us about who we should honor and love and serve. And it's people who are different than us. People who are different than us. People who look different. People who sound different. people from a different economic level than us, people from a different educational background than us, people who vote different, people who see the world differently than us. This is who we should be spending our time with. This is who we should be honoring and loving and serving and respecting. Because it's about the relationship. Jesus wants the Pharisees to see, I'm sitting here with them because it's about the relationship that I can offer to them. And that's new and that's different. It's not about the way, it's not about the technique, it's about the person. That's why he invites sinners, come sit with me. Come get to know me. And that just did not make any sense to the Pharisees. And so they say to the disciples, how come you guys, disciples, and they say to Jesus, how come your disciples, how come they don't fast and pray? How come they don't look more religious? Shouldn't they look a little bit different if they're really going to be following you? How come they don't look like us? Do you notice how obsessed the Pharisees are with who fasts and who prays? They're like keeping a running tally. Things that are not meant for other people to notice, they're noticing. It means a lot to them how you look. Do you look religious enough? And Jesus says, again, you're not getting it. I am doing something totally new. This is not going to fit into what you're used to. I am here with them. They want to be around me. They want the life and the celebration that comes with the relationship with Jesus. This is different. This is different. In Jewish culture, Jesus uses this wedding illustration, and that would have made sense to them because in their culture, during a wedding, it would have been a week-long celebration. A whole week, spend with the bride and the groom if you're invited, a whole week, you're just eating and drinking and celebrating the marriage. And during that week, if there were any festivals that would have fallen, any times of fasting that would have fallen, those were suspended. You didn't have to do them because the bride and the groom are here and we're celebrating them. And Jesus says, this is what I'm talking about. It's like that. Before Kelly and I got married, we went to two separate colleges, states away from each other, and so we spent a lot of time on the phone for our 4 years of college. I can't tell you how many hours in the evening I spent standing outside my dorm room or my apartment or a restaurant on the phone with Kelly. How was your day? What's going on? Catching up. When we got married, though, things are different. We don't talk on the phone as much, and that's a good thing. You know, it's like when we first got married, if we both went to work and came home and said, how was your day? And I said, well, let me go in the living room and I'll call you and tell you how my day was. The romance is dead pretty quick at that point, right? That's not, when Jesus is here, when he's with them, he says, it's different. This is different. With Jesus, things are different. It's not stale. It's not predictable. There is life and there's celebration with Jesus. And so then Jesus uses this illustration of a wineskin in order to show them something. And this illustration of a wineskin would have made perfect sense to all the people in the room there. He probably even pointed to one on the table. But wineskin doesn't really mean a lot to me. I don't know. I don't really know what that means. I don't know where you store your wine, but I'm guessing it's not something like this. This is a kind of a modern recreation of what a first century wineskin would have looked like. It would have been made out of either leather or some kind of animal product, and every household would have had these. This is where they stored their wine for drinking during the dinner. And it's not like today where you go to the store and you buy a bottle, and once it's gone, you throw it away. No, these were expensive. These were more like a household, maybe not appliance, but it was something you kept for a long time. You didn't throw them out when the wine was gone, and they were expensive, and so you had to refresh and renew the wineskins. And Jesus uses this example to illustrate something really important about God. That God gives us a new joy, a new way of living, a new hope when he renews the wineskin. And this idea of new and renew, it comes straight out of the text here. But our English language kind of clouds a little bit of what Jesus is saying, of what Luke is writing. And so for just a second, we're going to dip our toe into the original Greek language. Don't go to sleep on me here. I promise we're not diving in deep. I have a confession. The only college class that I ever failed out of, first year Greek. So we're not going in deep, I promise. But here's what it's important to know about this text. In verse 38, we have two instances of the word new. In the Greek, those are two different words. Two different words, two different meanings. We translate them both as new, but they have two different meanings. When Jesus talks about the new wine, he's using a Greek word that means something totally new, created brand new, fresh, wasn't there before. When he's talking about the wine skin, he uses a word that means like renewed, refreshed. It's the same thing, but it's just a different quality than it was before. New and renew. And Jesus wants us to see that this example of putting new wine into new wine skins is just like it is in our lives. Our lives can dry up. We become sort of unresponsive to the new wine of God that he's wanting to put into us. In the first century, to renew their wineskins, they would have taken them, soaked them in water, and then got oil and rubbed it in, sort of massaged it in. If you've ever had a baseball mitt or a pair of like leather hiking boots or leather furniture, you know it takes some work to take care of these things. And they would have done this renewal process with their wineskins to make them new again. Renewed wineskins. God doesn't get rid of us and toss us aside when we become stale, when we become stiff and dried up. We are the wineskins that he's wanting to renew, and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is what softens up our dried up souls so that we can be revived with fresh wine from God. That's the whole point of being renewed, is to receive from God again. And there's a rhythm of being renewed by the Holy Spirit and receiving from God again. Being renewed by the Holy Spirit, receiving from God again. And this rhythm is welcomed by a gospel-centered life. When we place the gospel at the center of our lives, when we place Jesus at the center of our lives, we welcome that rhythm of renewing and receiving. And it can be easy to feel stale, to feel like you're in a rut, to feel dried out, like this whole following Jesus thing might not be working, or it might not be worth it. You're not bad for feeling that way. You're just in need of being renewed by the Holy Spirit so that you can receive the good things of God. And a lot of times we get into a rut in our faith because we're trying to connect with God in our minds. This is where the Pharisees got off track, because Jesus did not come to convince our minds. He came to thrill our hearts. He did not come to convince our minds. He came to thrill our hearts. He wants a deep, intimate relationship with you. And we encounter him in that way through the work of the Holy Spirit. When God seems stale or predictable, when following God seems stale or predictable, it's because we're trying to worship God with our minds instead of connecting with our hearts. It's because we're making ourselves busy, trying to seem pious. We're trying to get refreshment from things that are not the work of the Holy Spirit. We're trying to make these old patterns work. We're trying to look as religious and all put together as we possibly can. And we're giving up this opportunity to have our hearts captured by a God who loves us. And if you're set in a way, Jesus wants you to know that there is more for you than being stuck in a rut. That there is better for you. He is offering a relationship, not a religion, a relationship. He is offering to capture your heart, to thrill your heart, to fill you with fresh wine again. And so my question is, where do you search for new wine when you're feeling dried out? Is it with other people? Well, maybe this person will give me what I want. Maybe being with this person, being known to be associated with this person will give me what I want. Is it media? You can watch any number of Christian movies and podcasts and books, and those are all fine. That's not where the fresh wine of God is. It's in our relationship with him. Maybe it's in busyness. Just being as busy as we can with lots of things, lots of good things, I'm sure. But that's not going to refresh you like the Holy Spirit will. If it's not God, it's not going to do anything for you. But thankfully, we all have a chance to be renewed once again. We all have this opportunity. I don't know what kind of renewal you need in your life today, but we all have a need for the salvation that Jesus brings. And for those of us who follow Jesus, each week when we gather together, we celebrate this meal together. When the wine and the bread become so much more than just simply food, they become a symbol of the real work of God, the real work that God did to redeem and to restore us. And we all have this need for renewal. I don't know what kind of renewal you need. Maybe today you need to respond to the call of Jesus for the very first time. And just like Levi, you need to get up. You need to respond and follow Jesus. If that's you this morning, I'm so glad you're on that, on the step of that decision. And after our service is done, there'll be some people over here who would love to pray with you about that. Maybe you need to be refreshed just simply in the way in which you connect to God. So you've been stuck in a rut and trying to make the old patterns work. You simply need to come and sit at the table with the King to enjoy his goodness. Maybe some of you are longing to be refreshed and just to have hope and joy to carry with you throughout the day. Come sit at the foot of the King, because he is longing to give you a relationship. Whatever kind of renewal you need this morning, we're going to give you a chance here in just a moment. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come and to come to the tables and to get the bread and the juice. Take it back to your seats. And I want to invite you to just take a moment and stop and reflect. And ask God to renew you once again. Ask the Holy Spirit to come in to whatever tough bits of your soul need renewing, need refreshing. And then when you're ready, you can take on your own the bread and the juice. And after a few moments, the band is going to lead us in worship again. But the table of Jesus is open for all who will follow him. If that's you this morning, I invite you to take this moment to seek renewal from God.